Sanhedrin, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Dalet 3-4, and this Mishnah will lay out the Kroven, the relatives who are pasul for Eidus, and to be a Dayan for that matter. The basis of all these really is a series of kind of complex drushes that the Gemara goes through. It all starts with the fact that there's a mission, that the pasuk, I should say, that says, Lo yumsu avos al banim, uvanim lo yumsu al avos, which is understood since elsewhere the Torah says that children will not suffer for the crime of the parents and vice versa. So here we're talking about lo yumsu avos al banim would mean that the fathers aren't being put to death by their sons by virtue of their testimony, and vice versa, the children not from the fathers. And the fact that it says it twice, and the fact that banim is plural and avos is plural, essentially makes for some very fertile ground for drushes. I'm not going to walk through each of the step of the drush to get there, but in the end of the day, our mission here will list a whole series of essentially, let's call it 10 different relationships, but it's even more than that. When you see by the end, you'll see what happens. So it says, Ve'elohen hakroven, the following is the list of relatives who are considered to be apostle for Eidus, and to serve as a judge. Aviv, one's father. Va'achiv, one's brother. Va'achi aviv, one's father's brother, meaning that's an uncle, one kind of uncle we can have. Va'achi imo, the brother of one's mother, that's another uncle in English. Uval achoso, the husband of one's sister, meaning that's brother-in-law, that's one of the types of people who could be called brother-in-law. Uval achos aviv, and one's father's sister's, meaning his aunt's through his father's side's, husband. Okay, so that's another kind of uncle in truth. A third kind of uncle. Uval achos imo, the husband of one's mother's sister. In other words, one's mother's sister is one's aunt, and her husband is yet another, like a fourth type of uncle. Uval imo, and one's mother's husband, another one's stepfather, in other word. And v'chamav, that's one's father-in-law, meaning his wife's father. Vigiso, that's his brother-in-law. We had another brother-in-law before, and actually there are three, you can have a brother-in-law, but here this brother-in-law we're talking about is even, if we're talking about something as distant as one's wife's sister's husband, right? In other words, two people married two sisters, so those two people are gisim, and they are also pasul eidus. Then, in addition to that list of 10, the Mishnah says, hein, that list of 10, uvenehen, plus all of their sons, v'chasnehen, and also their sons-in-law. What's happening here, just by the way, is you see that in each step of the way, we've got a person's wife is considered like him, so that's why the sons-in-law are kind of like children, etc. Okay, now, in addition, the Mishnah says one more person, v'horgo, one's stepson, meaning if he marries a woman and she already had a son, so he's also considered to be a relative, but this, levado, he alone, meaning not his subsequent generations, that's as far down as would go, to one stepson, not one stepson's son. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Zum Mishnas Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi says that is the Rabbi Akiva's list, and he was, obviously a Tana that's relatively late to the game, not that late, but because that's the one that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is quoting here. Aval Mishnah Rishona, but originally there was a previous version of the Mishnah, meaning I just want to speak this out just for a second. It's not the first time I've seen this in Shas. Basically, before the Mishnah with a capital M was written down by and edited and redacted by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So every Tana had a set of teachings they memorized, that each one was called essentially a Mishnah with a lowercase m. The word like shinun is to repeat and to repeat and memorize, like kol lashon halachot, repeating them again to memory. So everyone had their own version essentially. So this was Rabbi Akiva's version, but there was an early version called Mishnah Rishona before it became part of the Mishnah. And in that version, it was do-do, ven-do-do, v'chol haroi liyosho. The list, basically, instead of that list of 10, etc., plus all the permutations with the children, was one's uncle and one's uncle's son, like a cousin, in other words, v'chol haroi liyosho, and anybody else who could inherit the person about whom we're testifying or judging is considered to be relative. Now, the big difference between the primary difference between that other version, the Mishnah Rishona version and the Rabbi Akiva version, is that one's like mother's side of the family could never inherit to him. In other words, like one's mother's brother could never inherit from him, okay? Because if one dies, it goes to his father and not perhaps, but not never to one's mother. So that's that. Note, of course, that one could inherit from his mother's brother. If the mother could be the heir, and then it could come to him. So it's actually sort of an asymmetrical situation. But anyways, that is the Mishnah's point here. Now we move on to the next thing here. In terms of those relationships, the Mishnah says, it's v'chola karav lo ba'oso shah. We're talking about people who had that relationship of, made him a relative, a karov, at that time. Now, what's at that time? There are really two times to be concerned about. Both the time the event in question happened, when Reuven punched him in the nose that we're having the Din Torah about, and also the time that the aide would be giving testimony. Because, let's say the witness was, one's brother-in-law, let's say. Was he a brother-in-law at the time it happened? Maybe he married into the family afterwards. So the point is, if he's a brother-in-law or whatever, uncle and the like that married into the family, if it happened, if he had that relationship already at the time the event occurred, when he witnessed it, or when he's given the testimony about what he witnessed, then he's going to karov in his puzzle. If not, then not. Meaning if he married into the family after that, it wouldn't be relevant. If you could think of such a situation, which is how the Mishnah here says, Haya Karov, if he had been a relative, but then Nisrachek, he became like distant, estranged, detached from the family tree, like the death or divorce, right? In other words, it was your uncle or your brother-in-law, but now they got divorced, or the woman died, and so on, so now he's no longer part of the family tree. So then Hareza Kasher, he now becomes kosher, again, assuming that he wasn't a Karov at the time that the event occurred, or the testimony was occurring. So in other words, it was your brother-in-law, but then they got divorced, and then you punch someone in the nose, and then wants to testify, against you, whatever the story is. Okay. Reb Huda Omer, afilu mesa vito, even if one had a daughter, and the daughter died, so his daughter's husband, his son-in-law, was his karov, but once the woman, his daughter, dies, so he's no longer connected. So that's what the Mishnah said here, nisrachek, he got disconnected from the family tree. So that was old news, his daughter died long ago, and then the guy's no longer his son-in-law, in fact. He's ex-son-in-law, so to speak. But then, v'yeshlo v'anamimeno, if there are surviving children from the deceased daughter, meaning that this guy's meaning that the person we're talking about here, I'll call him the ex-son-in-law, is still the father of the person in question's grandchildren. So if that being the case, they're still considered connected, even though there's no wife to connect them, because this guy is the father of this guy's grandchildren. So then, hareze karov, he's considered to be a karov as well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, at least, but the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Yehuda.